Det som är hemskt som har hänt nu, när man går förbi någon som man tycker är riktigt snygg, då har vi börjat säga, oh shit, checka ut. I got this feeling on the summer day when you were gone. I crashed my car into the bridge, I watched, I let it burn. I threw your shit into a bag and pushed it down the stairs. I crashed my car into the bridge. I don't care, I love it, I don't care.
I'm Justin.
This is Bruce.
This is Mike.
And this is
The Breakings.
Episode 43.
Season 4.
Episode 3.
Starlog 7.2.
Prequel to Season 5.
It is the prequel to Season 5.
It is.
I don't know when that happens.
Or is it the sequel to Season 3 that is questionably in place?
No, this is Episode 3, right?
Yes.
So is this the Phantom Menace?
No.
Podcast?
That was Episode 1.
Was
episode
it?
Episode 3 would be the Revenge of the Sith.
No, yeah. Oh, they're all disappointing.
Oh my god, here we go with this again. Speaking of Star Wars, though. Hey, that was a good lead-in you had there, Bruce. I'm proud of you. You get a bugle. There you go. Oh, put it on your nose.
Mr. Segway.
Justin, go ahead.
Scissors.
We're going to talk a little about Star Wars today. Very little. Just touch base on something we did, a Star Wars segment. I don't know what episode it was. Probably 39 or 38 or something.
No idea. Yeah, it was a couple back. It was in November.
Was that Star Wars one?
Yeah, we
talked all about the next Star Wars movie. Well, now they did announce the director about a month ago.
I thought he was only producer, but you guys say he's director. I believe
he's the director. J.J. Abrams was picked over Jonathan Frakes.
Do we know what the J.J. stands for?
I don't know. If
J. Jonah.
Look it up.
J. Jonah Abrams.
Yes.
Is it Abrams?
Abraham.
Give me a minute, and I'll look up what you guys talk here.
Abrams, like, you know, the tank that we used. No,
it's believable.
So J.J. Abrams of Felicity fame.
Yes.
I don't think that's what his known to fame is.
It was at the time.
It was.
What? And that got him Alias, and then that got him Lost.
What about all his canceled shows? Undercovers?
Uh-huh.
What was Ryan's Life? Something like that?
It was on
ABC.
Alcatraz? Was that one?
Yeah, Alcatraz was another canceled show of his.
Hey, to quote the age-old phrase, you can't make a good omelet without breaking out a few dozen eggs.
Why do people like him get a few dozen eggs?
Jeffrey Jacobs.
Because he's the hot name.
Yeah, but some people can't even get one egg. I keep going back to, what's the guy's name? Tim Minear. He's a producer.
Mm-hmm.
Every show he's ever done has been canceled. Yet he keeps producing more shows. Why? Who throws money at this guy? You're a proven flop.
Jeffrey Jacob. Because it's the JJ.
Jeffrey Jacob. Yeah, you should just stick with JJ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is very noticeable when you call him out at San Diego Con, like I did.
What'd you do? Yeah.
Hey, JJ!
Oh, yeah.
I turned around and we had a conversation. Little did I know, I was shaking hands with the future Star Wars director.
Also, Jimmy Walker turned around.
No.
No.
He was not there. However, the black guy from Power Rangers was.
Totally racist of you to lump them into the same black category. Jimmy Walker.
Was it like the original Black Power Rangers?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I would have hugged that guy.
I did not. It was crowd around.
You know what else he was in? That Peter David wrote?
No.
New Mutants?
Space Cases.
I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
It had Kaylee in it from Firefly and Serenity as well. Space Cases. You guys remember?
Oh, this? Summer Glau? Is that Kaylee? No, not Kaylee. I know who you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jewel State.
Yeah. From Stargate.
It was a two-season Nickelodeon show. It was like Star Trek for little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
It was like these kids, these five different aliens, they were on a ship for school learning about the systems, and the space station gets attacked, and they end up getting lost in space.
So you're trying to say that the girl who played in Serenity was typecast?
Yeah.
Because she was at the previous.
She was Stargate.
Yeah, exactly.
The black guy from Power Rangers, he was the only human.
Which guy? I don't know his color.
You know, I don't see
the guy who was the Black Ranger. How about
that?
Yeah,
yeah.
Speaking of racist.
But I don't think he was.
He was the Black Ranger.
I thought Tommy was the Black Ranger.
Nope, Tommy was the Green Ranger
and the White Ranger.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Nerd!
I just proved I've had sex with a woman by not knowing who the Power Rangers.
Clearly, we all have children, so I'm pretty
that
sure.
Means nothing, Mike.
Whatever. You've already taken the show down a notch here, Bruce, haven't you? Just We had to go there. He just knocked us down a peg. We were like building up and legs right out from underneath.
I'm still building.
So J.J. Abrams is going to be the director of Star Wars.
Indeed.
Indeed.
What does he bring to Star Wars?
As far as I know, the first director. The director of the first movie.
Right.
What is he going to bring to Star Wars? Besides lens flares and an unsatisfying ending.
Well, one, I think that joke's pretty old.
Wait, which joke?
Lens flare one.
What's the lens flare joke from?
Because there's a lot of lens flares in
Star Trek.
Oh.
But that's a style.
They were practical lens flares. I do respect that. They were not added in post.
What's a style?
He actually paid people to stand with flashlights on the side of the camera.
I'm going to have to watch this again. I don't think I noticed this. I don't pay attention to this stuff sometimes.
I think you're legally blind.
No. I probably know what you're talking about. I probably haven't watched the movie in like 2 years, so that's probably why.
It's the first Blu-ray I ever bought.
Okay. I don't know.
Who knows what it'll bring? I don't know. I mean, it'll be kept secret for until the release.
So are we still saying 2015? Because I find it very hard to believe.
I thought in 2015 there's going to be like a Han Solo biopic or something like that.
What? Sarcasm?
No, didn't they announce that there's going to be a Han Solo prequel, a Boba Fett prequel, and a Yoda prequel?
I completely
standalone movies. They announced Boba Fett, possibly Yoda, and I think Han Solo.
I think there was a Han Solo. Yeah.
Okay, so one, you can carry a movie with Han Solo. You can carry probably a movie with Boba Fett, just because you have a lot going for you with the unknown at this point in time. Can Yoda really carry a movie by himself, though?
What about Carrie Fisher?
Can he carry Carrie Fisher? At the current state, maybe, yeah.
What do we need to know about Yoda?
Well, you have no idea anything about Yoda. You just know...
What do we need to know?
You know he's the Grand Poobah of the Jedi.
Look at all the mysterious characters that have existed and how they've been ruined with backstory.
Such as?
Wolverine.
Okay.
Boba Fett.
How has that been? Well, I...
Okay. Did you?
Okay. Anyways, go on.
We need to leave some mystery.
Okay.
I don't want to see Hans doing the Kessel Run. Because in my mind, it's always cooler than seeing him do it.
How many people out there want to see it, though, is the real question. And be honest, how many people?
Well, a lot of people wanted to see Kirk do the, the Kobayashi Maru?
Because for decades,
they talked about it. Oh, he's the only person to ever... Yeah. He's the only person ever to do that. He's the only person ever to do it. And then when he did it, I'm like, that deflates it. To hear about something and not be given the details so that your brain has to fill it in, it'll always be cooler in your imagination.
Two things. One, I thought it was cool. And two, it was a different Kirk than the Kirk I was talking about.
Different universe.
That's a loophole for disappointment is what that is. Oh, you didn't like it? It's not real.
Hey, I'm saying.
But when they make the real one, woo!
Then I gotta make the real one.
See?
The one that you wanted to see or not wanted to see, well, you'll never see.
At the end of this one, I want Riker to just show up and shoot Kirk in the head. None of this is real!
You didn't actually exist!
I'm here to set the timeline straight!
Have you guys ever watched The Penguins of Madagascar? Like, or anything like that? Yeah. No, the penguins, whenever they're like, you didn't see anything. They'll walk away. Like, nobody just saw these four penguins do this in your face, real quick. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing here? You didn't see
anything. That's how you wipe somebody's memory by blowing their mind.
Yeah. Oh.
But no matter what I sit here and say about it, I'll probably go and see it.
We'll all go see it together. We'll hold hands.
The question I asked was,
can't wait to go take my son to go see it.
With John Williams do the music, or will he stick with as a composer? Michael something.
Yeah.
Brother. Because that's who composes all the stuff. Or will they do a collaboration, kind of like they did on The Dark Knight
movie? With Hans.
Was it Hans Zimmer?
Hans Zimmer. And who else?
Were you going to say Hans Christian Andersen?
I think so.
Creator of The Little Mermaid.
He did more than just that. He did tons of fairy tales. Come on.
Name them.
It doesn't matter, but he did do a lot more than that.
Look at how the Man of Steel thing's going.
Mm-hmm.
You ignore what came before.
Well, now, John Williams only did the first movie, and they used his music.
Yeah.
Okay?
Because it worked. Because it was good.
But it wasn't him doing it. However, with 6 Star Wars movies, he's done each and every one.
Yeah.
So the question is...
Well, what about
Or maybe like take notes. Maybe go over and talk to
Jack Batman. Who was it? Who did the
Danny Elfman? Did
Danny Elfman.
Only one and two.
But he did the animated series as well.
He just did. It was the theme from the original one that was done for the animated series.
I thought it was like a different version.
It was a different version.
Yeah,
Alexander.
He did the Flash as well.
I love
and the Simpsons.
The animated series theme is probably the best. Yeah. That is always the Batman theme to me.
Yep, like, that's one I hear in my head.
Yeah, bum, 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 bum. Yeah, I can hear that. The opening trope is in there. It's pretty badass.
So
yeah, we're already on a tangent here.
All right,
good notes.
The Tangent Cast.
But tonight's episode.
Thing with Star Wars, there was also the Frank Oz has publicly came out and stated that he would like he has interest in the next three movies.
Yoda. He needs the money,
maybe, but he still does Muppet stuff. What is he in the movie?
Well, also he
did the last Muppets movie.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
positive.
He's directing live action comedies now. He did Death at a Funeral. He directed both versions of that, the British and the American version.
Really,
he directs a lot of movies.
That's good. Well, he doesn't need money then.
Yoda's dead.
Huh?
Spoilers.
There's no spoiler to that one. It's 20. Actually,
the ghost of Yoda.
Actually, it's 30 years old this year.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, or the thing I talked to somebody about this at work actually today. That depending on which route they want to go with this. If Luke is in the process of trying to establish the Jedi still, or however, or if the Jedi is still in its infantile day again, that maybe Luke has his like Jedi spiritual council that he seeks wisdom from. You know what I mean? Because he talks to Obi-Wan on a regular basis.
You got Hayden Christensen in it?
No,
I would like to see Ewan McGregor.
Yes,
as old.
Yeah, you have Ewan McGregor as the voice too. Even though he's younger than Mark Hamill, but you know what I mean. You could make
it could be like the council.
And then I don't think you can pick and choose actors from the two different trilogies and mix them together and be like, this is all happening at once.
We can't get Al Guinness.
Why not? CGI him.
They did it with
everyone else in the movie is going to be CGI.
Well, I guess it's a question of how much CGI will J.J. Abrams want to use.
How much did he use in Star Trek?
Not a heck of a. I mean,
obviously like, the ships
effects,
and stuff, but
effects, yeah. But yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it was
makeup. People were just wearing makeup.
Yeah, and there was.
Does
several.
That give you help? A hope? That was one of your big things.
I'm a practical effect guy.
I know you are.
So there, I think there were several characters that were, you know, across.
The nurse was not. The woman who delivered him was not. I know that because I saw
the robot scenes. Thing or whatever.
Nope, the woman with the big eyes.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah,
you gotta pay attention, kid.
I know what you're talking. I know which one.
No, there's a Kelsa character on the bridge of the what was the ship? First ship.
The Kelvin?
Yeah. And he was I think he was CG.
Did he have three arms?
I think so. Like he was based on
the character from the animated series.
Yeah.
Interesting. Go on.
I know my tricks. I know my trick.
Keep trekking now.
So tonight, speaking of Star Trek.
We're gonna talk about some Star Trek movies.
Yeah. When we come back.
Because we're already out.
We're talking about the Star Trek movies.
Yes.
In a short span, we will cover all 9 movies.
All right.
That's bold.
We'll be back.
Boldly going.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Howard Chaykin, Stan Sakai, and Joe Staten.
Howard Chaykin, Stan Sakai, and Joe Staten, who?
Howard Chaykin, Stan Sakai, and Joe Staten, who will be at the Gem City Comic Con with many more great guests on March 23rd and 24th, now at the Meta Center.
It's no joke, the Gem City Comic Con is the best show in the Midwest, yo. GemCityComicCon.com.
Hey guys, we're back and we're ready to make an excursion. We're going to take a trek.
Through the stars.
Through the stars, because nobody's ever made such jokes before in their life. Oh, Lord.
Anyways, we're going to review the... we're going to talk about, to some brief extent, the 9 previous Star Wars movies. Or Star Trek movies. Sorry, I'm all geeked about Star Wars right now. But let's start, Justin.
Yeah.
Take us away with the motion picture.
Star Trek 1. I love that movie.
It's a long episode, but there are... There are
the more I watch it, the better it
gets. There's about 20 minutes of the opening of that movie. You can skip like six chapters and then the movie starts.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the opening is the opening music.
Yep. A lot of things were defined in that movie. Star Trek became a lot more nautical in that movie. I like the uniform changes.
Nautical? Are you not talking about Star Trek Wrath of Khan? I'm thinking Wrath of Khan.
No, I'm thinking the first military. One. The first one had very nautical things. The little... Mm-hmm.
The whistle?
Yeah.
I guess that was in the...
it was.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
As sci-fi shows it all the time, and anytime it comes on, I'm like, click, watching Star Trek. But anyways, that's what I just do. I watch Star Trek whenever I can, so.
Okay. Oh, I like it.
I enjoyed the first movie.
I do enjoy the first movie. Yeah.
It's very long, but I like length.
I like Decker a lot. I like to see the counterbalance to Kurt. Like, the guy who should be in charge and has the balls, basically, to throw in Kurt's face, like, you're wrong. This is what needs to be done. Yeah. And when Kirk listens to him, or reluctantly listens to him, it works out. He's like, that meteorite was going to blow us up, wasn't it? Or the wormhole thing.
They couldn't fire the torpedo because it would have caused a rupture in the wormhole.
That part is like probably the worst part of that entire movie for me. Everybody is really slow. But the chick, her booms are bouncing everywhere. Everything. That sequence is all out of, like George Lucas.
That's the part you focus on.
Dude, there's no way you can. They're everywhere. It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable. Huh? You've never.
Now, what did you think? You think Deckard was the precursor to Riker?
Yeah, him and her were the precursors to Riker and Troy. I think Roddenberry said that. Yeah. He just used the same model again.
It worked.
Yeah. I would always want to see a comeback to those characters, somewhere.
Yeah. I always assumed that V'ger was where the Borg originated from. Hmm.
Who did I have this conversation? Somebody else had this. Maybe it was with you, but
yeah.
That's an interesting theory. I always thought those.
I've thought that for years.
Like, that they became sentient, essentially, because of the humans that merged with it. And now they're like, we got a better way. It's okay. But this is a
timeline.
Huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, now this has all been contradicted because of Enterprise.
Next generation as well. I mean,
right. Yeah, but
I mean,
not the Archer stuff. And he encountered the Borg.
Right. He encountered the Borg that was left from First Contact.
Right. Which was an alternate timeline that still exists somewhere out there, according to Spock's logic.
That's an alternate timeline, which then creates an alternate timeline. Yeah.
No,
I apologize. Enterprise's timeline is Star Trek 09's timeline.
What is Star Trek?
Enterprise's timeline creates is also part of
the Abrams verse.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they talk about. I mean, they do talk about Archer briefly
and his dog.
Right.
Do you remember his dog's name?
No, I do not.
Porthos.
Yeah. Okay.
He's like,
it was a P something like it.
And Scotty beamed it to God knows where.
He's like, I'll let you know when it shows up. Says that new never. So, long and short of it, Star Trek.
We like it.
We like it.
Moving on.
Too long.
Yeah.
Number going to Wrath of Khan.
Thumbs down. Worst movie ever.
You are lying so bad. And I'll tell you what, ever since I was a kid, and even the little I can't think of the worms they put in their ears or whatever
they call them.
Those things scared the hell out of me when I was a kid. But I still love that movie. Like, I just remember liking that movie a lot.
I wish that on the DVD they would have put the episode introducing
Khan. They should. I think I was like 15 or 16 and somebody said, oh, did you ever see that episode where they introduced Khan? And I'm like, they introduced Khan. It just never dawned on me at that point in time because I only watched so many of the
it's
original
episodes. It's a great episode.
It's a really good episode.
Albeit, it doesn't match up with the movie and the show.
How's that?
Because Chekhov wasn't on the show yet.
Nope.
Yeah, that's right. I remember.
He could have been on the show.
Now, the explanation in the novel was that Khan saw him being led down one of the corridors.
And he's like, oh, I know that Ruski.
Yeah.
There's only one Ruski in that flight of flying.
Well, also, Khan was originally Hindu. Mm-hmm. That didn't stick around.
Was it it was a book a while before?
I probably did a novelization.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How many of these did you guys see in the theater?
How many did I see in the theater? None. The last Star Trek is the only one I ever saw in the theater.
I've seen all the Next Generation ones in the theater.
Huh.
My dad is anti-Star Trek because my grandfather made him watch the original series. My grandfather said, this is important television. So my grandfather, it was like, you know, the second coming. He thought it was awesome. So my dad hated it. So we didn't watch a lot of Star Trek.
I'm at least 99% sure that I've seen Star Trek 2 on...
In the theater.
I know 3. I'm really sure I remember 2.
You're really old, and you were kind of the opposite of a shut-in.
We're like a year apart.
A year and a decade.
So yeah, Star Trek.
And the cool thing that they did with Star Trek 2, and as I try to read the history about a lot of these movies, about this, it's completely different than the Gene Roddenberry one.
Right.
Gene Roddenberry had this thing where they were going to go back and try to prevent the assassination of Kennedy, which would have been an awful movie. Like, just reading this, and I'm like, this sounds like a shit episode where you were going to use whatever leftover sets were on your, you know, were in the lot at that point in time. That's like, that's what this sounds like. And somebody else said, this is actually what we're going
to
do.
Not to speak ill of Roddenberry, but he was a good idea, man. And things got better when he walked away.
So, Stanley?
more like Rob Liefeld.
Okay.
Nicholas Meyer, though, was the one that took over.
Nicholas P. Meyer.
And what was the big thing, which actually ties in our whole focus with J.J. Abrams doing it? What was the big thing they did with Wrath of Khan? They used Industrial Light and Magic for the special effects, which is a George Lucas product.
Yeah. Huh.
Did you know that?
I do not remember that. I know they did the effects for Star Trek Next Gen.
Yeah, but they did. That was the first movie that they did the special effects on. So there's your Star Wars. They were at arms with each other before they even knew it.
Number 3. Are we rating?
No, I'm saying just...
Yeah.
I got huge thumbs up. Wrath of Khan is like the pinnacle of... Yeah, that's the Mount Rushmore.
It's not my favorite. It is up there.
It set the tone for all other Star Trek movies.
If I had to pick a favorite one, which I think it's a little early for us to pick a favorite one, I have a soft spot in my heart for Generations.
Yes.
I mean,
we'll get there, though.
Yeah. All
right. Number 3.
Search for Spock.
Search for Spock. Yeah. Christopher Lloyd as a flipping Klingon. How great was that?
I had no idea that was Christopher Lloyd as a kid.
Right.
And I remember seeing this one. Like I said, I'm really sure I saw number 2 at the theater. But I remember specifically seeing number 3.
3 also kind of weirded me out because of the
whole...
Wasn't
John Larroquette also a Klingon in that one?
But I also did not know that.
Yeah.
I remember Nightcore as well.
Yeah. That was not my favorite movie by any means.
I enjoy it, though.
I thought the costumes were horrendous. I thought the introduction of David was heavy-handed.
What do you mean, Headley? What do you mean?
Like, hey, look, a son. Love him.
But they introduced him in 2.
It just seemed really forced in 3, their relationship. Going from 2 to... I don't know. I didn't...
What was the time frame from 2 to 3?
It's pretty much back to 1 to 2. There's a jump,
like 7 years, right? Or
7 to 10 or something like that.
Right.
Because they want to explain why they guys all look old. Because Star Trek: The Show to 1 is maybe a few years, if that.
Right. Because
he's only been out of. He's been doing one thing. But yeah, there's a big jump between the 2.
Okay.
And then 3 is not that.
Oh, they're not leaving. Three
pretty much takes place right after 2.
Yeah,
and they couldn't even get what's her name to come back to play the.
Well, she wanted too much money.
Oh, just for that little part right at the beginning.
Yeah, she wanted the alley one.
Yeah,
as a Savick.
Yeah,
Savick.
Yeah, Savick.
Yeah,
she's a good character.
Yeah, and there's Robin something.
Just to say bye to him. That's all. Like she couldn't take the.
But still, I didn't care much for David's.
She might have had a bigger part ahead of than Christine Allen.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No. 3, she was in it more than... It was 4 you're talking about. 4 is when she said bye. 3, she had a big part. She was
on the Vulcan.
That's right. I forgot about
that. Who had shorter hair than he did.
Sorry, yeah, I am.
He got his haircut between the two.
Damn it. Either way, 3 is not one of my favorites.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. I say it's so-so. Mm-hmm. So,
not my least favorite, but it's
okay.
Not in the top.
Okay, number 4.
Yeah.
The Voyage Home.
The Voyage Home.
Directed again by Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy.
Very funny. He directed Search for Spock.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
That was part of his deal coming back.
So let me look at this one. I really enjoyed Voyage Home when I was a kid. It's a very fun movie, you know, when I got older, that movie pisses me off.
It's too commercial. It's as if they sat down and watched Short Circuit, and they're like, hey, we can do that.
Kinda. And if you look at
Fish Out of Water,
what you year, got what, it. What year was this movie made?
86, 87, 87, 87.
Look at the tone shift that you're talking about in the decade too. Late '70s, early '80s. I'm sorry, my lightsaber just went off.
Put that away, Mike.
In the late '70s and early '80s, you have kind of darker tone movies and every, you know what I mean, with a rougher edge. Mid to late '80s, you start getting more of that. Hey, let's do Beverly Hills Cop, and then we'll do four more. Justice Academy.
Now it's interesting that you said Beverly Hills Cop because Eddie Murphy was supposed to be in Star Trek IV.
Yeah, I can't
imagine. As who?
The scientist that was going to help him get figure out how to get back.
Huh.
Not really as a, like, he was going to be, what's her name? But he was going to be the person that helps them.
Thank God.
And then that fell through. Yeah, this is all in Star Trek.
Double dumbass on that! Yeah.
No, I think,
Star Trek IV. Eddie Murphy for a date.
No, I'm eating pizza, drinking Michelob.
I think Star Trek IV was great for Scotty.
Yes, even though he hates Shatner and he hated Shatner most of his life, right?
I mean, I still like IV.
I do enjoy IV, but it just made me angry as
it's,
I. Got
it's
older.
Like a weird made for TV, like it's a G-rated version. You know, it's. I don't know. That'd probably be a good one to start a little kid out with.
Right.
It is funny.
It is. That's what I'm saying. When I was a kid, I loved Star Trek IV.
Yeah, whales.
Everybody's like, you need to only watch the even. So just do 2, 4, and 6. Just say 1, 3, and 5. Just fuck it, man. 1, 3, and 5. Flush him.
That still goes on. People
no.
still say that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But
that's you as a kid?
Yeah, kind of. But that's the attitude. That
totally one. Radical.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of 80s, you know.
Gnarly.
Yeah, exactly.
Too legit.
This is boss right here. You know, anyways.
I think it might be closer to the 90s.
Probably.
I have no idea.
Which leads us into number 5.
Number 5, right?
And William Shatner. And I'll tell you what. I really like this movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Again, another part when I was younger that freaked me out. The whole going after God and when God, you know, that energy thing. Scared the hell out of me when
really?
I was a kid. I don't know why.
There's a giant head and clouds.
Yeah.
Well, that was because they, I think there's strikes or something going on when they were trying to make this movie. So
this is during the big writer's strike.
I mean, writers, other kind of strikes. Like I said, all in movie memories, he writes about this experience.
I love the idea of Spock having a brother.
Yeah.
I was hopeful for the longest time that Benedict Cumberbatch.
Cybok.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was thinking Psylocke. I'm like, that's not right. Why does that sound like an X-Force character?
X-Men. I was hoping for the longest time that Benedict Cumberbatch would have been Cybok.
Oh, in the upcoming.
Yeah.
The Sherlock.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, actually, I know a little spoiler from the upcoming one, but I won't say
that. Was that the thing on Empire Magazine's website?
No, this one ties in something another movie we're talking about earlier.
Anyways.
Anyhow, I'll take you guys off.
But, okay. But I do enjoy that movie. Though, the one thing that really cracks me up is when William Shatner really wants to put his influence on something. Because he's a big equestrian. And that was right after he had divorced and got remarried to his wife, who was a big horse lover. And so he's like, I get to show off my horse riding skills on these alien-ass horses. What up? And, you know, but it's a really good movie. And yet, and it's a tonal shift, too. It takes it from the light to a little bit of a darker. It's a lot
still
of
using some humor. Though.
Yeah, but yeah. It's a lot of inner fear and like reflection on yourself and everything. And I thought that was really fascinating, especially the part with Bones.
Yeah,
where God, that killed me with his dad. Like that, that was rough. You know what I mean?
Well, as a kid, I was watching Bones.
Yeah, right.
Right, but watching it lately with Steph, it's had a different.
Clearly, yes.
Right, and I'm like.
Yeah,
and I was like tearing up. So the movie's a lot better now for me than when I was a kid,
right?
Except for when I was a kid, I didn't really notice
little fan dance thing or whatever.
I was like, this is kind of cool, but now I'm more of an adult. I'm like, oh my god,
it's embarrassing.
Like,
she is like 50, right. And what are you doing?
Right, yeah, that's awesome. This is cool. So, also not my favorite, but it's one I like, and it's gotten better over the years. I still like when Scotty gets his head. I know, the ship like that, my hand. Hand. That's a good one.
Scotty got better in the movies.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and then he had the whole thing with him in your kind of come together. So, okay, that
brings us to the Undiscovered Country.
Ah, yes, very good one.
It is
P. Meyer again.
Yep,
it is a great movie, and I'll tell you what. This is six would have been one that I would have watched not too long after it was in theater. Like when they did VHS release, I remember watching this within like I spent the night at my uncle's house and he was a huge Star Trek fan. He had all of them, and I actually got to watch this movie like right after it came out on VHS, and right. I was so excited to get to watch it because everything I've just been backtracking my entire life. You know, that's growing up is younger than I am with you. You know, like I had to always go back and watch everything. I didn't get to experience it as they came out. Exactly. So this is the first one I actually did.
And Shatner was elementary school together.
And I love this movie. I think six is great.
Oh yeah, I saw it. It was one of the earlier ones I saw at Dayton Mall because it was still
Cinema One.
No,
nice.
No,
no. This was the one that was on the top level, which would have been on the not the cinema, not the arcade side.
I know what you're talking
about. Pennies. But the other side. No James Pennies was glad.
I know.
So I saw that one on the other side.
Cool.
First of Home Alone 2. But that was a fantastic movie. Yeah. I mean, you had a mystery.
Yeah.
You had
a whodunit.
A shape changer.
Yeah. A shape
changer. Right, which was, you know, not really.
This, they bring back another Vulcan, which you think this is going to be like?
Oh yeah,
this is going to be like number two, and so she's going to be a cool character, and she's going to add some extra, and then you're like, this bitch is the one behind everything,
right? And then the boots,
six
and like the guy's got like crazy.
If the shoe fits, click.
Right,
Christopher Plummer.
Well, no, him too. He was amazing, Christopher Plummer.
I love his line about you've never heard Shakespeare unless you've heard it in the original Klingon,
right? Yeah.
I mean, that's intelligent and egotistical at the same time.
Completely. And Christopher Plummer is great in that movie. He is he epitomizes everything that was delicious about, about everything that about the Klingons. Like, he makes them look like narcissistic badasses.
Without being physically imposing. Without being aggressive.
And, he was slobbering. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then you had the guy from number five, the human.
Yes.
The captured human that was the Abraham Lincoln, because that's why he had they wanted to have that Abraham Lincoln beard.
Not to mention
the guy that was in charge. Like,
that's just so weird.
He had Abraham Lincoln beard, so that way they could. He was the guy that was trying to change the Klingon way and bring.
And not to mention, you have the guy from number four, the black guy who was the commander on Earth, and he's part of behind it too. Like, there's all this.
Him and Odo.
Yeah, it's all these conspirators together, and you're just like, this is the weirdest. Like, it was so cool.
Almost the. We talked about, was it four being the least Star Trek-like?
Right.
This is pretty un-Star Trek.
But it's done well.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Six was great. Six made me a fan for life, you know what I mean? Like that was the movie that, like, said this, you know, because I watched
It was intelligent. Who wrote it?
Nicholas P. Meyer, but also wrote it by Nimoy, and it was written by whoever the producer was at the time. Those three wrote it. Yeah. I can't think of the producer right now.
But did a great job.
Yeah. Harv Bennett. He had been producing since two. Yeah.
Which then brings us, then you make your pseudo departure. Right. And I'll tell you, the send off on that is great in six. Like, you think these guys are never going to be in a movie together. Like, it's kind of a done deal at this point in time. You got Sulu back in there, you know, to get the send-off for him. Yes. And then, you know, he's just like, they're like, where to, Captain? Or, no, Spock has the good line at there. It's like, I believe I tell them to go to hell or something like that.
Right.
And then he says, second star to left straight on until morning.
Yeah, right.
Peter Pan line, which is great. It ended, and then they just kind of went off.
And then the signatures at the end.
Yeah, which is really cool.
Yeah, really.
Classic.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah,
stay classy.
I'm getting chills thinking about it.
Right.
When I saw it.
I kind of want to put it in right now, right? Like, just have it play. So are we, like, we get, that's like the pinnacle of some of the Star Trek movies, right?
I don't, some of the aliens look a little weird.
The guy with the balls in the knee or whatever.
Menads?
The knee. Yeah. There were a couple little childish things here and there.
But it's really good.
It is, but I'm not going to say it's perfect.
Okay.
He had, like, the floating blood.
Yeah.
The effects are amazing for the time.
Oh, the floating blood, that that did creep me out. Like,
everything creeped you out, Mike.
Well, because, yeah, like,
he was like 10 or
man,
5.
Man, if you watch an actual horror movie, seven. You will shit your brains out.
I didn't really watch horror movies until, like, I was, like, 20, dude. Yeah, like, wow. I was easily freaked out by things, and now I just don't care. You know what I mean? It's whatever. I'm children these days, they're so desensitized with violence on television. Anyways, but,
we're moving on to number 7. No more numbers.
Now we just go to Generations, which is the final departure of the original cast, and hello to my friends of the Next Generation.
I think it was very respectfully done.
Yes.
I think it was handled beautifully.
I love the movie a lot more at that time than I do now, and I still like the movie. If it's on, I'll definitely watch it. Like, there's not a Star Trek movie that I won't watch when it's on. I liked it more than because I'm like, I love Picard, and Kirk's going to be with him, and this is going to be badass.
Yeah.
And there's some hokey parts to
it. I wish there'd have been more crossover.
Yeah.
With the crew.
It wouldn't have been so just blunt just done, you know. But who was Malcolm McDowell as the bad guy was really good, too.
I don't really like him as an actor, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's been in a lot of good projects, but I think him overall, he's not a very amazing actor. He has an interesting look, an accent, he has a way with language, but I'm not invested in his emotions.
His gun was cool, though. The gun that turned inside.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not trying to
take a lot from what Bruce was just saying.
He did not come across as desperate as he should have.
Right.
For a man who's lost so much, and this is his last ditch effort to ever get that back, he refuses to move on. He just, that didn't come across.
That was well lit.
I really like Malcolm McDowell's shoes.
There's a scene in the movie when
the soul in the bottle
finds out that his nephew, and it's all like
it's
all like orange.
Oh god, yeah.
You know, it's very. I think it's a very. I'm
that
like,
is heartbreaking.
Probably one of the best lit at the time. Yeah. Star Trek, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of emotion going on.
Yeah.
I hate to see Patrick Stewart cry.
But then when
you want to cry with it,
they take the Enterprise and they're like crash.
There was a little too much emotional data.
Oh, yeah, Data with emotions.
Yeah, because he was, I'm scared, Jordy. I'm scared. I can't move.
Those tiny little light.
Yeah, so he had funny data.
Which
then became a reoccurring.
Right.
Yeah.
For the good or bad.
Now, was this, that was the one, they crashed the ship, he finds Spock.
Yes.
At the end of the wreckage.
Right.
It's adorable.
What's all, he finds who? Oh, the cat. Yeah, I thought you said Spock, and I'm like,
yeah,
what?
It's baby Spock.
This isn't the director's cut.
It's Genesis again.
Not again.
You also got the emergency medical hologram in it, right?
Nope, that was the next one.
That's I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay. I apologize. Myself.
That was a good part.
Yeah, but the part where Patrick Stewart goes into the Nexus and everything.
Yeah.
Man, that is really tough to watch.
Shatner on the horse.
Yeah. So Shatner on the horse. Yet again.
Did he ever leave the Nexus?
Who?
Would you?
Is that what they? Did
you see, go that's the question.
Time.
Yeah.
Oh, don't.
It's it's kind of a legitimate thing. If you can just go to at any point in time, how do you know you're actually back into the real thing?
Because bad things happen to them, and the Nexus fulfills your wishes and dreams.
His wishes are to have a normal life.
And his wishes were to fight the Borg again and almost get stuck.
Yes.
And no.
Because you want to see more movies made.
He said, my wallet's a little light here. Give me some more.
Now, did you guys ever read the novels that came afterwards?
Nope.
No.
About the Borg stealing Kirk's body. Those were written
I read biographies. You know, I read the Star Trek memories.
Well, good for you. I'm sure those are amazing stories.
They are, very.
You like the Shatner memoirs, don't you?
Yeah, they're really funny.
His Star Trek books he's written.
Maybe one day.
Because he makes himself awesome.
He always makes himself awesome.
Yeah, okay, so in the first one, after Generations, he gets resurrected by the Borg and sent to kill Picard and all this stuff. He proves that he's smarter than Data. He proves that he's stronger than Worf. I mean,
well, he's a Borg, so he technically is.
Well, he's not a full...
Okay.
Full-blown Borg. Like, he's just got the nanites in him, making him younger. And
okay.
But, like, he wrestles Worf. And he beats Data at math. And it's like, how could you do all that? How is it possible?
Did you know Kirk is Jewish for Jesus?
It's horrible.
Anyways,
okay.
So now we go on to probably my favorite one out of all of them. It's First Contact.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Still up there, higher than Wrath of Khan for me.
It's a little melodramatic, where he does the whole draw the line here.
Yeah, I'm.
And there's that window that's a force field, and we've talked about this before, haven't we?
We talked about this during the Star Wars one, actually. But I love that movie. Yeah. I think it's really great.
For years, it was my favorite.
Yeah, you got time travel, I love the time travel aspect. I love the fact, like, what year do they go? 2052, 56, something like that.
Can't remember.
I know it was like 2050s or something like that. I was just remember sitting there watching this as a kid. I'm like, I'm gonna be like 70. That could be me. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm Zefram Cox.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, like that could be badass. I'm like, and just the fact of like the early warp drive technology and them using the rock and everything, that was cool as
had
shit.
Had Barkley in it.
Yeah.
What?
Barkley.
Barkley was in it. Remember he was so nervous to meet Zefram Cochran?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry.
I gotta go take a leak. That was good. Was to Jordy.
Was Lee. This...
Where's Island Sense? Island Sense Elite.
Where's, oh. Was this the first war Jordy had the contacts?
Yes.
No.
The contacts were a pretty neat thing, too.
I miss the visor.
I do, too. But he saw racist images in it. Did you not see that Family Guy thing? They have a thing... When they go to meet the next generation cast, they have a thing where you can put on Geordi's visor and everything you look at, it's all guys in white cloaks, burning crosses, and hanging black people. And Peter's like, oh my god, why would he wear this? So that's every time I think, I'm like, that's why he got the contacts.
No, I did not like the contacts.
I thought it was kind of a neat thing where he
the visor was such a distinguishing feature.
I understand. It's what
it works, but it was also a part of the TV show. And they're trying to establish the movies.
Worf was part of the TV show. He moved on to another TV show. They conveniently brought him back for every movie.
What TV show did he move on to?
I don't know if you know.
Sorry, you made it sound like he like left the Star Trek universe real quick.
In the books, they claim that Scotty helps create the E. He helps do engineering for the E.
Interesting. Because he was still...
Because he came back.
Right.
Show, and he helped design the engines and stuff for the E.
This isn't like the old ones.
Borg, a good villain?
Borg was a really good... I thought
the Borg Queen?
Just the Borg in general. Because I've been... Star Trek's... Not Star Trek. Sci-Fi Channel's been playing the Star... No. BBC America's been playing Star Trek. Like, marathons on the weekends. They played, like, all the ones leading up to Locutus and all that. Uh-huh. I think the Borg were cooler when we knew less about them. The Borg were cooler before they had a queen. I understand one, so that you have one main focus. Mm-hmm. But I think the Borg started out a much better idea than they ended up.
I like the queen a lot.
I think they were really deluded by all the stuff that happened in Voyager.
April 4th, 2063.
All right.
So you were you were saying 2090s. If this is Price is Right, you're over, buddy. You're out.
This ain't Price is Right.
Your Price is Wrong, bitch. All right?
I love the idea that they were going to sacrifice their lives.
Right.
Right.
They're willing to stay in the past future. and just live in seclusion in the past.
And then this movie...
You made, like, you were sold. Like, these guys are staying back here. Right. Like they're gonna
find an island and live on it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Like, that... Yeah, that part where they're like, you know, they're given the activation.
Yep.
Goosebumps. I'm right there.
They're going to destroy another Enterprise. They just built it. And I don't care for the E. The E's, I don't like the E at all. I like the D.
The D is definitely
I don't like the E.
It's iconic.
It is
iconic. Just like you like the visor. I do not like.
But, Justin, they were, that was the TV show.
I understand.
See, I was watching God of
War. Yeah, they had to move on. They had to move on, Justin, you know. That's why in the next one, Picard gets a wig. It was all in the TV show. They could fix that.
But not just any wig. He's going to have like 16th century Parliament.
I'm thinking like Flock of Seagulls.
Come on, they're British, so I guess that still works. So whatever. Bringing it back.
The pink faux hawk.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
I can't talk about this movie.
To Insurrection.
I've never watched it.
You've never seen Insurrection?
Never seen it.
Ever?
Never.
What kind of Star Trek fan are you?
Not nearly the one you guys are. That's been well established already.
It was an episode.
It was the, I guess if we were to compare it, it would be the, Voyage Home.
It had more comedic stuff to it.
Yeah, no. Lighter in tone.
It was lighter in tone because everyone went through puberty again and all that.
Right, it was very light in tone movie.
And everybody went
compared to First Contact, they went the opposite direction.
Okay.
Now, would I have loved them to continue in one direction? Yes. But
I think... Insurrection was a horrible blemish. I think that you could easily skip that and live a better life.
I think that's
I've never watched it, and I've apparently not missed a thing. It was a bad episode that somehow made it to the theater.
A duck hunt on duck hunt. Is it?
What
duck? Duck blind. They did a duck
blind. Yeah. They're playing the game Duck Hunt.
There's my dog.
It jumps right over the place. In one of the episodes, and then they continued that.
I know, they did that a lot, and it was fine for 45 minutes at a time. Episode,
and this would fall under...
So much of that movie, it's like Lord of the Rings, but they don't have a destination. They're just walking through the mountains.
There's a lot of cool stuff. And I don't want to give any spoilers away now, because Mike doesn't see it.
No, we can go to see it. I will end up watching it.
No, don't.
You should watch it.
Your life's too valuable.
You should watch it, Mike.
You know what? What's the episodes where they put Spock on Romulus or whatever it is? Or,
yeah.
That could have been a better movie, I think, too. That was a really good. Those were good series of episodes. You know, where you have the episode where it leads with Picard seeing Spock's father die, then them going to Romulus to sneak in and try to find Spock and everything like that. I think that could have been a better.
They did a lot of those IMWs, that comics with him on Romulus. And
right.
That wasn't very Star Trek like, though. And I'm not a huge fan of those.
Really?
Yeah. The only one I liked was when Picard was being held hostage and they're trying to brainwash him
by the guy from Star Trek 5 and 6.
How many lights do you see?
There are 4 lights.
Don't you remember that?
No. Oh, that was a good one. Yeah,
no.
Picard gets,
there are 5 lights.
Yeah. You get to turn to brainwash.
There are 4 lights.
He's like, so close to
him breaking,
and then and that's one who,
because doesn't he tell Deanna
who's the
he's like, oh, I knew there were 4 lights, but I was going to tell him that there were 5.
It was, who's the captain that took over? Jellicoe, something like that.
Yeah,
he was the guy from RoboCop, Total Recall.
Was Frank he in Walker? Scrubs?
What,
Frank Welker?
No, he was also in,
was
also
he in Scrubs.
I don't know, but I couldn't stand him because he's the one that told Deanna Troi she had to wear, like, uniform.
He was in Scrubs. He was the bad guy in Scrubs.
I don't watch Scrubs.
He was like the head of medicine or whatever, the evil doctor that walked around. He's an a-hole in everything.
Oh, the guy, Dr. Cox, the guy who played Dr. Cox?
No, the other guy.
Actually, Ronnie Cox is his name.
Oh.
Ronnie Cox is the actor's name.
The guy above him.
Oh, okay, yeah. The guy was like, oh, Dr. Cox. And he's always like, he's shorter and he's like a dick. Yeah.
He was a really nice guy in real life.
Right. I'm sure he is.
I like his defining characteristics. You're like a short dick, right? Oh, no. It's proportionate. I myself am short and dick like. But.
So, anyways, right, Insurrection. I haven't seen you guys both say.
Don't see it.
I say see it.
I say don't.
Right.
I say see it too.
Read a book, Mike.
complete the movies.
So on to Nemesis, which you
oh,
claim
we're
is
still doing 10 movies. I forgot we said 9 earlier.
You don't like Nemesis, but we also said, we have also established that this is the anti. You want to talk about the anti Star Trek movie? This is the anti Star Trek.
Nemesis makes me sad.
But Nemesis would be what they try to go back to First Contact because of Insurrection's lighter tone,
right? Yeah. First Contact, they said they want balls action.
Basically. Well, I think a lot of the problems is how do you come up with a big movie villain?
Right.
You have 2 hours to introduce them and make them a huge threat.
You get burned.
That was supposed to be a young Picard. Right. I think they could have done better. I think they could have cast somebody who actually looked like him. I didn't buy that whole stuff. I look different from you because they advance my aging and
I got beat up.
I have this disease and
he also got beat up a lot.
I hear things and have somewhat psychic powers with a wasted Ron Perlman.
Yeah, Ron Perlman was a pretty badass.
Riemann,
that's right. Yeah.
The
enslaved.
As far as I know, never existed before this movie. The Riemanns were never mentioned, they were never seen. But all of a sudden, we have this subterranean class of Romulans.
It's like another.
I don't know. What if all of a sudden we found out, hey, there are. Klingons that live on the Klingon sun and they're beautiful and soft.
Well, there's 2
they
kinds
shit
of
jelly. I mean,
you're right. The genetic ones,
right? Yeah, those don't exist anymore.
They do.
Those are all wiped out.
No,
that's what the Tribbles were created for, to kill them.
No.
having troubles with Tribbles here.
Is it my favorite? No, but I still like it more than Insurrection.
The stuff with Data, I just felt cheated. I felt that was a horrible way for him to die.
But he didn't die.
It was a horrible way to bring him back because now he's slow.
No, well, it just takes
he's
time
learning
to,
again,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, up. Yeah.
I don't agree with it.
the one thing I can't
remember. My favorite character.
The one thing I can't read Data was much. Actually, I like Geordi when I was a kid. I like Data more.
Well, I like Miles, but he moved on.
Right. What show?
The greatest of all Star Trek shows.
The soap opera in space?
I honestly feel that it was really, really, really good.
One day I'll finish watching it.
I got all of it over there if you want to borrow it.
Liv likes watching it, right?
She's destroyed almost every season I have of Star Trek DS9.
Why?
Because she likes to grab DVDs.
Huh.
She's torn.
Ethan does. I had to. He's had his hand smacked several times. He learned not to take the cookies out of the cookie jar without asking.
Right. Whatever. They're just DVDs. I mean,
they can be replaced.
Yeah, the DVDs. And you know what?
We're talking
about Netflix, so. Yeah, it's been. I haven't watched them, so.
Moving on!
But, anyways, so.
Thoughts about the movie?
Nemesis? My mom said, oh, you gotta watch this, because my mom's the Trek fan. She's the one who got me on all the sci-fi stuff, my mom is. And so she's like, there's some really cool
stuff. Sounds like a beautiful woman, man.
She
very nice.
You've never met my mom.
Doesn't matter.
Anyways, just don't talk about my mom. Anyways, there were some cool sequences in it, but I don't know. It was kind of weird. I thought it was cool that you got to see with Janeway, right?
Admiral Janeway.
Yeah, you got to see her in it, which I thought was kind of neat.
I still would have liked had what's her name been on the ship, 7 and 9.
What
had she like been?
Like, oh, because
crew member,
because they would have freaked out.
Yeah, that would have been some good drama.
Picard would have been like, "Not again." We draw the line.
Gets in the bridge. Yeah,
this is he puts a little piece of tape on the ground. This is where you're allowed. Where else is us?
She's backed into a corner. It's like, you can go ahead and put your little cybernetic whatever.
It's going to allow you to be on the bridge.
Yeah.
Do you want, as long as it's within the taped area.
And 7 armed guards are pointed at you at all times.
You want a phaser taped to your forehead.
Approved by myself on Voyager. Doesn't mean anything here on the Enterprise.
What's it's like, ship? Didn't you guys get lost for 7 years, by the way? Get out of here.
Hey, could have been 70.
Could have been 70 years?
Yeah, that's what they originally said. It was going to take them 70 years to get home.
I never watched Voyager. I don't know.
That's totally not worth watching.
Voyager at all?
Yeah. There's maybe a dozen good episodes. Hmm. They actually repeat themselves.
Wow.
And they contradict themselves.
That's
it. They keep talking about the warp barrier, and then they keep breaking it, and different things happen. They're like, oh, but this will happen. Nope. Different outcome each time. You idiots.
Star Trek 10.
A.K.A. just Star Trek.
Just Star Trek.
Yeah.
Not Star Trek, the motion picture. Yeah.
You want to call it? Yeah.
The O9 Star Trek. Yeah.
Yes.
I thought it was a good movie.
My favorite.
Your favorite? I don't know.
Your favorite.
Nope. I think
you pick Generation.
Which child do you love the most? The newest one? Is that how you love your children?
Lila comes in there. Get out of here.
The rest of you can go to hell.
I just think 09's the best, in my opinion. Nope. And then followed by First Contact and then Wrath of Khan.
09's not bad. I went into it thinking I was going to hate it. Just thinking I was going to set the theater on fire, stand there, watch people cry. But it wasn't a bad movie. Like I said, it was the first Blu-ray I ever bought. But it is by no means my favorite. I have no history with these characters now.
I had no clue what to think. I thought this was going to, when they had originally talked about Star Trek coming out, I was like, they're just going to take all of Star Trek and just say, doesn't matter. So I was really confused with it. And Justin says, you need to read the prequel comic.
Right.
When you talk about wanting to tie in something, there's no reason that this shouldn't have been a mass market paperback or something like that. Because when you read this, this sets up everything.
Yeah.
So when...
They should have been selling them in the theaters.
Have you seen Nemesis? This would have been perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly, because they give you Picard in the comic, they give you Data in the comic.
Geordi.
They give you Spock and Geordi.
Worf.
Yeah, they give you everybody. Everything that you would want to go from one to the other. You get this thing with Spock, you find out why the Romulus... Like, I knew all about the Romulus blowing up beforehand. I knew that Eric Bana was one pissed off Romulan. Uh-huh.
I never totally understood how he was able to bend Borg technology to his will. They had a mining vessel. They souped it up with confiscated Borg tech. But it didn't go evil. It didn't try to assimilate them. It just made their ship better.
It was something about his hatred, wasn't it? Or something like that? Or like...
The Borgs can be controlled by emotion?
I don't remember. Dude, don't...
It's been a while since I read it.
Yeah. Countdown, right? Countdown? Star Trek Countdown.
They never explained it.
Value local library.
Yeah, there you go.
So I read it multiple times, and they never went into how the Romulans could control the board.
I read it once.
That bothered me.
Okay, fair enough.
And the one about Nero, the comic about Nero is a good one, too.
It's just called Nero, right?
Yeah.
But that talks about
the backstory of his wife and all that?
Actually, it fills in the gap between when he goes back in time to...
Oh, that's where he was in the Klingon prison for...
That's one thing, yeah.
Because that was weird in the movie, too. It's like, hey, I just hung out for 26 years in the Klingon prison.
I think they also meet the... maybe, I don't remember. I think they also run into the whale people. You know, from 4.
Oh, the sex machine or whatever
it is. The big long thing. Yeah.
Oh, dude, like, if that's not any kind of, like, phallic thing with the little tiny thing that's floating up above it and they're waiting for it to spin into that big hole, like, that was, like, even as a kid, I'm like, this is phallic, right? I don't even know what that means. Like, this is so sexual. It's really weird.
Mommy, I want to have a lot of kids. Right now.
Like all I know is they make sweet, beautiful music. That's what's happening right now.
I enjoyed the movie. I thought it had, you know, it had the new Star Trek, had the old characters, the names, and I enjoyed the actors, and also had Spock, and it had really awesome effects, and
it did have some. The one thing, and somebody had brought it up to me, and I think it, I have, like I've said, I think I've watched it 2 or 3 times. And I don't want this to come across offensive, but it seems kind of simplistic Star Trek. Like, it's like the very essence of Star Trek without having the complexity of Star Trek to it. Because a lot of Star Trek will, you think about it and, you know, it
has... There's no deeper meaning. There's no parallels to what's currently going on in society.
Right, yeah. It was more of
it's a revenge story. It's a straight up, straightforward revenge story.
Right.
I think Star Trek in the Darkness.
Layered, and everything, yeah. Which, and that's cool. And if this is just setting the tone for that, I'm fine with that. I want to be rewarded for, like, a really good action flick now, is, I guess, my thing. I do enjoy the film.
I think a lot of it was just them proving that they could do it.
Yeah.
I understand what you're asking for, but I think that would have added another layer of difficulty.
Right.
I think a lot of this was, it's like the first issue of a comic book. You set the pieces out on the board.
No,
you know, and you just, hey, here's what we're doing.
And I'm like I said, I'm cool with that. I'm good with that. I just want to, I have high hopes for the second one now. Like, I'm like, you can clearly do better space battles than have ever been done at this point in time. You know what I mean? You have characters that have already established that you can now appeal to a broader generation who are easier on the eyes, I guess is the one way to look at it, you know what I mean, for a lot of people. Fresh faces.
They're, what, 70 years younger?
Yeah, exactly.
and alive.
Right.
DeForest Kelly would have been in that movie, given the opportunity.
Who's Simon Pegg is the oldest. Yes? He's 40?
I don't know.
I would say...
Carl Urban's not young.
No, I'd say Simon Pegg's a little... I'd probably say Simon Pegg's older than Carl. I'll look into it.
Is that the guy who's Pike?
No, that's Bruce Greenwood.
Yeah, Bruce Greenwood.
Yes,
he would be the oldest, but the crew of the Enterprise. Yeah.
Carl Urban's bones.
Okay, see, I don't know what.
I don't know how old Carl Urban's bones are, but I do know that
probably as old as the rest of them.
Now, talk about something that I thought was really neat was the backstory of Bones. Okay,
how he got his name?
Yeah, he's like just left me with my bones, and I thought that was pretty cool.
It's the only thing he got into the divorce.
Yeah.
I think we'll wrap it up and we'll come back for a quick goodbye.
Yep.
And then I'll be back.
What happens when you visit the most attractive website on the planet? You get Pritchlapped. Pritchlapped.com, the online home of attractive game comic artist Chris Pritchard. It's attractive.
Why, thank you.
All right, we're back again. And say our outro really quick this time.
Let's get out of here. So we're going to find me on Michael T. Adams the second on Facebook and Twitter.
That's the second with 2 1s.
Yes, it's I. No, 2 I's.
That was the 11th.
That's coming up soon in the month.
Anyways, I'm on Justin Wasson's art on Facebook.
Enunciation.
That's it.
He's also on Twitter.
I'm also on Twitter. Yeah, and we're all on Twitter.
Yeah,
the break-ins are on Twitter.
Yes, they are.
Break-ins are on Facebook. I'm barely on Twitter.
Break-ins are on iTunes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We don't have any new reviews or anything since I had to reset us up.
Okay.
So we'll get that taken care of. We'll ask for some reviews. I'm BruceOHughes.com, and then I'm on Facebook under Bruce O'Hughes.
And we all look forward to seeing the next Star Trek movie.
Yes.
Till then, make it so.
Beam me out. BrucealHughes.com